Hello and happy new year, besties. Happy new year, happy 2025, and welcome to the first episode of Fangirl Report with your host, Emma Heron, certified fangirl of the year, the first episode of 2025. I am so happy to be here. It is a beautiful Sunday afternoon on January 5th. It was sunny today, a little bit cold and a little bit of snow, but hey, it's January. Who am I to complain? However, I am having the worst case of the Sunday scaries that I have ever had in my life, because I have been out of the office since December 21st. And I did a couple of like remote days between then and Christmas time, but I have been out of the office for like well over 2 weeks. And not that I'm dreading going back, like I'm feeling ready. I'm feeling ready to see all my girls again, but you guys just know how it is. The Sunday scaries, going back to work after the weekend is hard enough. Going back to work after a beautiful 2 week holiday, not vacation, but holiday break, where I didn't have to be in the office and worry about anything for 2 weeks. Yeah, I'm struggling a little bit. However, I'm making the most of it. I got some groceries today. I had a nice sleep in, and now I'm here. I'm here recording for you, my besties. So again, Happy New Year. I hope you guys had a wonderful holiday break. I hope you got everything that you asked Santa for. I hope Santa brought you all of the best things ever. And I don't typically do like New Year's resolutions, but I do have a couple of goals that I want to strive for this year. So I want to get into shape. And I know that is like the dumbest shit ever, and everybody says that, but it is true. I want to start getting into shape. I am just ready to feel better in my body. You know what I'm saying? So that doesn't mean I'm going to go on some crazy diet or some crazy gym routine. I just want to start doing more things that's going to make my body feel good. Some more hot girl walks, not necessarily a diet, but I'll like a calorie deficit, so to say. Like, I don't want to take away the things that I love to eat. I'm just going to eat a little bit less of it. You know what I'm saying? So a cute little calorie deficit. And it is so funny. I stumbled upon this girl on my TikTok For You page the other day, and she's been doing Just Dance for like a year, and she said it's totally changed her life and she feels amazing and she's seen the differences in her body just by doing like a bunch of Just Dance dances every day. Hello, I used to be on Just Dance all the time in like 2013. I remember there was a couple in particular. There was Oh my god, what's that Carrie Underwood song? I'm too good, girl, too good for you. Okay, I think it's called Good Girls by Carrie Underwood. I was all on that. There was Call Me Maybe. I was all on that too. I don't remember what year this was. I'm gonna look it up. Just Dance 4. When did Just Dance 4 come out? Just Dance 4. Release date. 2012. Yeah, I was all on that. So now I need to look at all the songs that are on Just Dance 4. Because Good Girl, I remember so vividly doing that one over and over again. I loved it. Okay, so I'm on the Just Dance wiki. The fact that this has like an entire fandom wiki thing is so funny to me. Oh my god, Umbrella by Rihanna. That was a really good one. Can I just not see a list of songs that were on here? Is that not a thing? Okay, this wiki needs to get it together. Oh, no, here it is. Here's the list. Call Me Maybe, Good Feeling, Disturbia, What Makes You Beautiful. Oh my god, yeah. Oops, I Did It Again. I remember that one. Yeah, this was the one, and I had it on the Wii, I remember. And it would be in the basement of our old house, and I would just be doing like the same four songs over and over again. So anyways, this girl, I think she does aims for like 20 songs, 10 to 20 songs a day or something like that. And I want to start doing that because I don't have Just Dance anymore, but she made like a YouTube playlist of like over 100 Just Dance songs. So I think I'm going to start doing that just for funsies in the living room in front of my TV and my socks and sweatpants. I think that could be really fun to revisit Good Girl by Carrie Underwood on Just Dance. So in terms of New Year's resolutions, that's kind of what I'm striving for. Do you all remember? I remember being like a teenager and being like, my New Year's resolution is to be more awesome this year. Did y'all ever say that shit? That was so funny. So yeah, that's about all that I'm striving for. I want to get into shape. I want to feel better. And that's about it. Other than that, I'm just kind of taking it day by day, living my life. I have a couple of exciting things to look forward to this year. In March, I'm going to a How to Train Your Dragon, like, orchestra, live orchestra. I am so excited. And it's not even that I have this, like, emotional attachment to the movie. Like, I know some people are, like, so attached to that movie. And I don't blame them. It's an amazing movie. I don't really have an emotional attachment to it, but that one song, da 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 da, that is gonna make me cry when I see it. That moves me. That shit lights a fire under me. I don't know what it is. So I have that in March. There's gonna be Comic-Con in March. Which is funny because the How to Train Your Dragon thing actually falls on the same weekend, but we're going to do both anyway. So a couple of things to look forward to, and I want to be able to feel good when I do those things. You know what I'm saying? So that's all I'm kind of aiming for in terms of New Year's resolutions. I'm back to work tomorrow, got the mad case of the Sunday scaries. And other than that, what I would love to talk about with you guys today is over my holiday break, I finally went to see Gladiator 2. Applaud for me. I finally went to see Gladiator 2. I went with my mom and my bestie Hannah and my stepdad Chris. We all went together. And I wasn't sure what to expect because please don't come for me. Please don't send anybody after me. I have not seen the first one. So I talked to a few people about this movie. And they say that the first Gladiator is so much better in terms of like emotional connections to the characters and the relationships and whatnot. So a couple people recommended to watch the new one first and then watch the original one so that I can see how much better it is. I don't know. So I haven't seen the first one. I plan on it. I'm just so bad when it comes to not seeing movies in the movie theater. Like, when I'm in the movie theater, I'm forced to sit down and pay attention. But, like, if I'm just sitting in the living room, I am so bad sitting down for a three-hour movie. It's just, I'm so bad. How even long is The Gladiator? How even long is it? Oh, yeah. Yeah, see, it's 2 hours and 35 minutes. See, and if I'm sitting down in my living room and doing that, I'm gonna find so many things to distract me. I'm gonna get bored. It's just a whole thing. So I'll get around to seeing the original one, I promise, because I hear it's really, really amazing. However, Gladiator 2. Oh my God. Wow. You guys. I wasn't sure what to expect, like I said. It was really good. I liked it. I thought the ending was a little bit, like, I could have used maybe 5 more minutes on the ending. Which I won't spoil for anybody because it hasn't been out for that long. Overall, though, Paul Mescal, hello? Like, okay. I have been struggling to hop on the Paul Mescal train because he did that one interview with Saoirse Ronan where it was like that. Remember, y'all remember that? When they're like, oh, who would ever think to use an iPhone as a weapon when they're on a walk, and then Saoirse Ronan steps in like the queen she is, and she's like, women have to think about that all the time, and totally silenced the men in those seats. So I kind of got the ick from Paul Mescal when that interview came out. I was like, and listen, I know he's attractive, and I knew that. However, I was not mentally prepared for the Paul Mescal action I was about to receive in Gladiator 2. Wow! Like, if we set that interview aside for a second, like, if we just pretend that it never ever happened, shove it to the back of our brains, holy moly, I was on the Paul Mescal train watching that movie. I was on the Paul Mescal train. He is delicious. All things aside, like, whatever happened during the interview, all that aside, he's gorgeous. He was so delicious in that movie. Wow. Okay. So, first of all, I was really in my Paul Mescal era for a second there. However, we all know what I'm here to speak about in terms of Gladiator 2. My Zaddy, my husband, my boyfriend, my lover, Pedro Pascal. The absolute love of my life, Pedro Pascal. Wow. Wow, 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 wow. There was not enough of him in this movie. I could have watched a 24-hour director's cut if it meant that there were more Pedro Pascal content in this movie. Holy, he was amazing. He was absolutely delicious. This is not a spoiler because the clip was going around on TikTok, but like when he goes up to like his wife and he's like, "M'lady, bitch, my pants about flew right off in the theater right next to my mother. My pants almost fell off." Wow. It was insane. I'm going to keep saying wow this entire episode, by the way. But in terms of Pedro Pascal content, I couldn't have asked for a better film to watch to satisfy my Pedro cravings. I mentioned in my last episode that I was sitting with my Pedro Pascal blanket that I got for Christmas. I did bring that to the theater. I did. And I sat with it and I snuggled with it while I was watching my husband, lover, boyfriend, love of my life eat on the big screen. And that's just the way that it is. So, unfortunately, I have been in my Pedro fascinations for a while now, but I have like these moments where it just gets unbelievably unacceptable how obsessed I am with this man. And right now is one of those moments where I literally, there's not enough content on the face of the planet that could satisfy my need for Pedro Pascal content. So it's my entire For You page is Pedro Pascal. My boyfriend finally found the Esquire magazine that he did last year because I knew I had bought it and I set it aside somewhere and we finally found it. So I have that. I have my Jesus, my Jesus Pedro Pascal candle that I got from Illuminidal, which is a little business that does like pillows and shit or whatever. It's just quite frankly unacceptable. I have a Pedro Pascal keychain. I have a Pedro Pascal car air freshener that sits on my mirror. It dangles from my mirror every day, reminding me who my zaddy is. So recently, it's just been bad. It's been really bad, and I acknowledge that. And I probably need help. Let's be honest with ourselves here, but it is what it is. So the moral of the story is if you haven't seen Gladiator 2 yet, I recommend it. It's a good watch. And I'm not necessarily a fan of that type of movie, like with like the action and men fighting. However, if you are into hot, muscular, sweaty, dirty men fighting, then you need to go to the theater and watch this right now. Because that's essentially what it is. And I thoroughly enjoyed it. So I finally saw Gladiator 2. It was about time for me to see it. And it had me thinking because I was having a hard time figuring out what to talk about today. And I knew I wanted to talk about Gladiator. And then it got me thinking, who was my Pedro Pascal back in like 2013, 2014 era? I was like, let me think about this for a second. And I think it dawned on me. I was like, oh my God. Who remembers the Maze Runner trilogy? Oh my God, the Maze Runner. That's crazy. The chokehold that the Maze Runner had, not only on me, but my mother too, was crazy. Me, my sister, and my mom, when those books were out, the chokehold it had on us was absolutely unbelievable. I read all of the books. And when the movie came out and I saw Sir Dylan O'Brien for the first time, I do think my life as an adolescent was changed at that moment. And it wasn't even only Dylan O'Brien. I remember the chokehold that Thomas Brody Sangster had on the internet at that time was unbelievable, which it's so funny because looking back on that now, isn't necessarily the type of man I would go for now, but I still get it. You know what I mean? Like, I still get it for my 13-year-old self when I see pictures of Thomas Brody Sangster. I get it. Especially in The Maze Runner. I get it. And then what is that kid's name? The kid who played Gally. Who is he again? I don't remember what his name is. Eyebrows. I know y'all know what I'm talking about when I say eyebrows. Maze Runner. And I'm pretty sure the first Maze Runner movie came out in 2014. I think so. Yeah, 2014. Cast. Thomas Brody Sangster, Dylan O'Brien, Will Poulter, that's his name. Even the guy who played Mino was so fine. Everybody was so fine in that movie. And I just remember the chokehold it had on me and the internet at that time. And I think it's safe to say that, like, that era of boy was, like, the equivalent of my Paul Mescal, Pedro Pascal now. 100% that's my equivalent. If there was another one that I could say, it would 100% be Josh Hutcherson in The Hunger Games. When did the first Hunger Games movie come out? This is crazy. And I did read all these books too. Hunger Games. 2012, the first one came out. Yeah. Josh Hutcherson had quite the chokehold on me as well. But no, The Maze Runner was unbelievable. I remember, it must have been grade 9 English class. Grade 9 or 10 English class, when we would have like the silent reading, I was reading The Maze Runner. Obviously, I probably read the first book like 3 times in a row. It was unbelievable. And wow, just wow. And I touched a little bit on, not last episode, but the episode with my sister when we discussed YouTube and all that good stuff. I discussed the fan fiction train a little bit. And the fan fiction train for The Maze Runner was unreal. It was actually a little bit scary. Like, I remember getting on, I would go onto the sacred app of Wattpad, the sacred application of Wattpad, and I would search up, like, y'all, this is gonna take y'all back. I don't know if y'all remember, like, reading those, like, preferences, and it would be, like, a topic. Like, for example, I don't know, going out on a date with so-and-so, and then it would be just one chapter of like little paragraph stories for that scenario with each of the characters. I really ate those up for Maze Runner. Of course, I ate up those Imagines and the one-shots with Maze Runner. We were being fed at that time. The little girls, the little 13-year-old girls on the sacred app of Wattpad were really feeding us at that time. And to whoever was writing that fan fiction back in the day, I just want to give you a personal thank you for feeding my delusions. That was a crazy time of my life. And so when each of the Maze Runner movies came out in theaters, you bet your ass that me, my mom, and my sister were seated. We were seated in that movie theater watching all of the Maze Runner movies. And I was about to say, hashtag spoilers, but this series has been out for like 10 years now. So if you haven't seen the Maze Runner series, then I'm sorry, I can't help you at this point. When, I don't remember, even remember what movie it was in, but when Gally came back after we thought he was dead, I remember the three of us were like punching each other in excitement. When Gally came back on the screen, we were gooped and gagged. Again, if you haven't seen it, I'm sorry, but it's been long enough that you should be watching it by now. But yeah, when Gally came back after we thought he was dead, that changed my life. That was a moment in history for sure. And overall, wow. And listen, when I was an adolescent, 13-year-old girl, I was obsessed with drawing, okay? So I started off drawing, like, recreating little cartoon characters with my little, what are they called? Oh, Prismacolor markers and shit like that. And then I moved on to, like, doing portraits. So I remember my first ever pencil portrait was Niall Horan, obviously. And then I did do a handful of Maze Runner ones. So I remember doing a Thomas Brody Sangster one. I did a Dylan O'Brien one. And if my memory is not betraying me right now, I think I remember that the Dylan O'Brien one wasn't even that bad. And it's so sad because, oh my God, and I was literally just at my mom's house too for holiday. I should have dug out all of my old sketchbooks because they are full of whoever I was thirsting over as a child, they're in there. Man, I should have grabbed it because we really could have gone down memory lane. That would have been crazy. You know what? That's just going to have to be another episode. I'm going to have to, next time I'm home, gather all of my old sketchbooks and we're going to go through them. It's going to be really upsetting for me, but it's going to have to be done, unfortunately. Now, it is like a running joke, and it has been for like a long time for me and like my friends and my family, that I have many husbands and many boyfriends, okay? So whenever a new celebrity crush is revealed to me, he is now one of my boyfriends slash husbands. So I remember ever since I was like 16 years old, my mom would be like, oh yeah, she's got so many boyfriends. Like, and it would be like Dylan O'Brien, it would be Niall Horan, it would be all kinds of people. And the way that to this day I have so many husbands and boyfriends, it's actually unacceptable. And it's so upsetting too, because of course now that I'm trying to think of who all my husbands are, the pressure is like making me forget everybody. Oh my God. I just remembered an entire era of my life. I can't believe that I didn't think about this. So of course, there was Hunger Games. There was Maze Runner that had me in an absolute chokehold. But in 2012, the cinematic masterpiece called The Avengers came out. Oh my God. I can't believe I didn't think of this sooner. Because when I first saw the movie The Avengers for the first time in my life in 2012 when it came out, holy shit, I had so many boyfriends when that movie came out. Robert Downey Jr., freaking Chris Evans, freaking who else even was in that movie? I'm so excited I can't even think right now. Oh my God. And it's so funny because 2012 when The Avengers came out, this was like before Netflix and stuff was a thing. I don't even know when Netflix was a thing, but if it was, if it did exist in 2012, we didn't have it. We definitely didn't have it. So we still had satellite TV at that point. And the first time I saw it, I remember it was in our old raised ranch. And I would sit in the upstairs living room and I would sit on the floor in front of that TV, absolutely mesmerized, when there was that scene where it's like near the end of the movie where all the Avengers are together outside in New York. And it does that like shot, like showing them all and the camera's like moving in a circle or whatever. Y'all know what I'm talking about. That changed my 12-year-old mind. It did. It did. And so since we had satellite TV when that movie was out, I would go onto the guide and I would search whenever that movie was being played. And you bet your ass, whenever The Avengers was playing on satellite TV, I was watching it. If it was a channel that we had access to, I was watching The Avengers whenever it was out. Oh my God, I cannot believe I forgot about this era of my life. The Marvel era has been so crazy for me. Y'all thought the Maze Runner chokehold was bad. The Marvel chokehold is even worse. So of course, when I saw The Avengers for the first time, I had to get into all of the other Marvel movies as well. So I'm gonna pull up a little bit of Marvel here. I need to see like in release order. So then, yeah. So then I would catch up on like Iron Man 1, watch that whenever I was able to. Iron Man 2, catch up on that as well. Thor. Oh God, don't even get me started. Don't even get me started on Tom Hiddleston right now. He is one of my husbands for sure. Captain America, the First Avenger. I caught up on that. Avengers 2012. And then when Iron Man 3 came out in 2013, I saw that shit in theaters. And yeah, I was so excited to be there because Robert Downey Jr. is also one of my husbands. However, he's more of like a, I would say he's more on the Pedro Pascal level, like on the Ziadi level, you know what I mean? Like, the reason I love Robert Downey Jr. so much is because of my daddy issues, you know what I'm saying? So, Thor the Dark World, I don't ever think I saw that one. I know I'm bad. Oh my God, you guys! Captain America the Winter Soldier 2014. Sebastian Stan, you guys, oh my God, all of my husbands are like coming back to me right now. And it's so funny because most of my lovers, husbands, boyfriends are in fact in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So when I saw Captain America the Winter Soldier for the first time, that also altered my life, altered my brain chemistry, because Sebastian Stan as Bucky Barnes, the Winter Soldier. Oh my God. I can't even. Oh my God. Anthony Mackie as well in that movie. I love Anthony Mackie. I love him. Oh, and then Guardians of the Galaxy. Okay. Okay. Yeah. So, okay. Guardians of the Galaxy came out in 2014. I did not get onto the Guardians of the Galaxy train until, I want to say, 2016-ish, because then we had Disney Plus by then. And I remember so vividly, I don't know if it was a snow day. I remember school was closed this day. I don't remember why. So I was in the downstairs basement of our raised ranch. And I remember looking through Disney Plus, and for some reason, I was like, oh, Guardians of the Galaxy. I haven't seen this yet. So I put it on, and listen, okay, Chris Pratt was unfortunately one of my husband's boyfriend's lovers. He was. I was so severely obsessed with Chris Pratt the first time I saw this movie. He is no longer one of my, we have since been divorced because he's like a raging Christian now and he's kind of homophobic and it's just, we're divorced, okay? So while I can appreciate that he's good looking, we're not married anymore, okay? And that's it. But regardless, Guardians of the Galaxy changed my life. And Guardians of the Galaxy 2, even though I saw the second Guardians of the Galaxy when me and Chris Pratt were divorced, I can still appreciate that the second Guardians of the Galaxy is probably one of my top five Marvel movies. It's good. And if you disagree with me on that, sorry. Sorry about that. Oh my God, what is happening to this? Okay, then Avengers Age of Ultron. Oh my God, Ant-Man, stop it! Paul Rudd is also one of my husband's lover's boyfriends. Oh my God, I really loved Ant-Man too. It was so good. I don't remember if I saw the first one in theaters though. I don't remember. Regardless though, Paul Rudd is one of the best human beings on this entire planet. And he's playing a little ant. What is there not to love? Captain America Civil War. Because all of my husbands were in that movie. Sebastian Stan, Paul Rudd, Chris Evans, RDJ, all of my husbands that I had fallen in love with from the Avengers and from Guardians of the Galaxy and shit like that. Actually, I don't think there was any Guardians of the Galaxy. No, never mind. Please ignore me. But wow, almost all of my husbands leading up into this moment were in that movie. So I was really into it. Doctor Strange. See, okay, I love Doctor Strange as a character, but his first movie, I'm happy that I watched it one time. I don't think I would be able to watch it again. It was just kind of boring. Sorry. I have seen it though. Yeah. And then 2017 Guardians of the Galaxy 2. Again, one of my favorite movies. Spider-Man Homecoming in 2017. That was good. Thor Ragnarok in 2017 as well. I loved Thor Ragnarok because I think that was the first movie that the character Korg was in. I fucking love Korg with my entire heart. I'm almost certain he's, yep, Taika Waititi. Oh my God, I can't even. I literally love Korg so much. And I used to be able to do the voice really well when this movie came out, but I don't think I can do it anymore, where he's like, hello, my name is Korg. I'm made out of rocks, but don't let that intimidate you. Oh, I love him. Oh, I love Korg. Wow, this is crazy. I cannot believe I forgot about my Marvel era. Like, I was literally sitting here thinking about what my Pedro Pascal equivalent would have been when I was a teenager. And while Maze Runner, when I was like 13, 14 years old, was my absolute chokehold, nothing compares to my Marvel chokehold. Like, this is unacceptable that I forgot about this. So if there was one person that would be my Pedro Pascal equivalent, it would be RDJ, 100%. That just like makes sense. You know what I mean? Okay, what else do we got here? Black Panther. Black Panther was so good. Infinity War changed me as a woman. Ant-Man and the Wasp. Yep, good, good, good. Captain Marvel. I had a massive Captain Marvel phase. I just love Brie Larson. I thought this movie was so good. Endgame, obviously. Spider-Man Far From Home. And now we're getting into like more of the more recent things. But old Marvel, like when the first Avengers movie will probably forever be one of my top Marvel movies ever, because that was my introduction to the Marvel world. That was my introduction to my husbands, Chris Evans and RDJ. And then, if we are discussing more recent Marvel, I don't know, have I talked about Deadpool Wolverine on this podcast? Because I remember I saw it before I started it. Oh my god, so another, oh my god! Oh, Hugh Jackman, you guys. Holy shit. Hugh Jackman is another one of my Zaddy husbands. So if we're talking Pedro Pascal equivalents, it would 100% be Pedro Pascal, Hugh Jackman, and RDJ. Because they're all like similar vibes, you know what I mean? They're like old, fatherly, goofy, silly, hot men. You know what I mean? So that would be my three, 100%. Yeah, this movie, Deadpool Wolverine, even though it was like so silly and stuff, it's one of my favorite movies at the moment. It was so good. And if you haven't seen it, please go see it, because the moment where his shirt quite literally breaks into a million tiny pieces, revealing his oiled up juicy abs. Okay. Okay. And I would give my left kidney to be able to watch that for the first time again. It was that good. Wow. And if we are discussing more modern Marvel content, I think it's very important for me in particular to really speak about Loki the series. Oh my god, I love Loki the series. And I know it got a lot of, season one got a lot of hate. And to be honest, rightfully so. Even though I loved season one a lot, like just personally, I thought it was really good, really entertaining. I love my husband, what's his name again? Tom Hiddleston. Love my husband, Tom Hiddleston. I thought the plot of the show was really, really good. But like overall, it wasn't the best. Season two definitely carried. It was because it was under a different director. I know season two was directed by, I want to say two other people. And it was certainly much better. Like it was just much better produced. It was, the acting was better. Everything was just better. You know what I mean? But I still, like the chokehold that the Loki series had on me when it first came out was unbelievable. I remember waiting, because I think a new episode came out every Wednesday. And wow. And oh my god, I have to talk about, listen, okay, I have a lot of husbands, boyfriends, lovers. However, I do have a handful of wives, okay? I do have a handful of wives, girlfriends, okay? It just is what it is. So the girl who played Sylvie in that show, I am so obsessed with the character Sylvie. It's unbelievable. Again, she got a lot of hate in season one, which, I mean, again, rightfully so, because what was with that relationship between Loki and Sylvie? I don't understand it. However, I was obsessed with Sylvie, and what's her name? Sophia DiMartino. Oh my god, hold on, I'm having a stroke. Sophia DiMartino. I am obsessed with her. She is everything and more. And Nick actually got me for my birthday a print signed by her, and I actually combusted a little bit. She is so fantastic, and I just love that character so much. So again, along with my very long list of boyfriends, husbands, lovers, there's a couple of wives in there, and that's just the way that it is, you know what I mean? So overall, when I finally saw Gladiator 2, I knew I wanted to talk about it, which meant I had to talk about, you know, my cinematic experience from when I was a young teen. So that means our Maze Runner and our Hunger Games and our Marvel again. And it is so funny because there are so many more things that I could talk about when it comes to movies. However, there is a friend, Karina. Hi, Karina. If you're watching this, hello. Me and Karina have so much to discuss in this podcast, so I'm going to wait for her to be on it. For example, we brought this up on Friday when we were together for a little Secret Santa. If you guys remember the movie Warm Bodies, oh my god, that is, oh my god, if you know, you know. And that is all I'm going to say about it, because the similar to how I would search up on the TV guide whenever Avengers was playing, I would do the same with this movie. I would literally go onto the guide, search up whenever Warm Bodies was playing, and I would watch it. Nicholas Hoult is, wow. I can't, again, the K. I will go on a tangent about it. We're going to wait until Bestie Karina is on and we're going to talk about it. And then we're going to talk about other movies as so that also had major chokeholds on us as adolescent teens. I think it's just very important. And in the meantime, I would love to discuss with you Pedro Pascal once more. So in the past few months, in my, you know, my up and down Pedro Pascal phase, which, listen, this phase is never going to go away. It's just sometimes it really has me in a chokehold and I'll have days where I'm like, oh my God, like, it's just like, I can't even describe it to you. Anyways, so for the past few months, I have been watching his entire discography. Discography? Hello, he's not a musician. What's okay? You know how, like, when you're referring to, like, an artist's full collection of music, it's a discography? What is that for an actor? I don't even know. Whatever. So I was watching, I've been working through Pedro Pascal's full catalog, if you will, of content. So I have seen The Bubble. Oh my God, you guys, don't even get me started. I know, okay, The Bubble, it was a movie during COVID, about COVID. It is not a good movie at all. Like, it's not a good movie. However, I love it so much. Dieter Bravo, which is Pedro Pascal's character, oh my God, I literally can't even. He is so cute in that movie. And yes, he's a cocaine addict in that movie, but it's fine, I can fix him. So I really loved The Bubble, and Karen Gillan was in that as well. Oh my God! Oh my God, I just remembered something. Karen Gillan just unlocked another phase in my life. Doctor Who. Oh my God. Oh my God. How did I forget about this? Okay, clearly you guys, I have all of these phases in my life that I have been locking up in the very depths of my brain as to not remember them anymore because they were so insufferable phases. They were so insufferable. Oh my God, Doctor Who. It was like 2010 or something like that when David Tennant's seasons came out of Doctor Who. My Doctor Who phase was so disgusting and horrible. So I never saw like the classic Doctor Who, but when they brought it back with Christopher Eccleston, I watched almost all of those seasons. I did not watch, what was it, 13th? I don't remember what his name is, the old guy. So I watched Christopher's seasons, David's seasons, and Matt's seasons. I watched all of those. And it, oh my God, Matt Smith had me in a chokehold. He's another one of my husbands, and so is David Tennant. He's also one of my husbands as well. And when I was into Doctor Who, I quite literally had, what is it called? It was, my Doctor Who collection was unbelievable. I had this giant poster. I had so much merchandise. I had posters. I had all kinds of little TARDIS knickknacks and things like that. And I don't even know what it was about this show that had me in such of a chokehold. But wow, I was so obsessed. And if you ask my sister, she's going to be like, she will tell you all about it. And so will my mother. And it's so funny because when I was home for the holidays, she was like, hey, your Doctor Who giant poster is sitting in the basement. Can I get rid of it? I'm like, yes, you may. Yes, you may, because I'm leaving that part of my life behind. Wow, that was a little bit of a fork in the road there. A little bit of a tangent. But yeah, my Doctor Who phase was lethal. So back to Pedro Pascal's catalog of content. So I've watched The Bubble. I really loved it. I watched a little bit of The Great Wall. I got bored. I watched Triple Frontier. I really enjoyed it. And oh my God, I watched Kingsman: The Golden Circle. I've seen that probably 3 times within the last couple of months. Agent Whiskey has my entire heart. Pedro Pascal in that film. Oh my God. And of course, that movie was the birth of that one really famous Pedro Pascal edit on TikTok. And I think about that a lot. So I've seen Kingsman and the Golden Circle multiple times. I've watched the first few episodes of Narcos. Again, I got bored. I'm really sorry. I know. I just need to push through it. I haven't seen Game of Thrones yet. I know. And that's another bold statement to make. I have not seen Game of Thrones yet. And I'm actually not sorry about it. Yes, I am. I am really sorry about it. I'm really sorry about that, guys. I'm going to get to it, I promise. I've seen Last of Us, cried so much. I saw Wild Robot in theaters, cried so much. Oh my God, Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent. I've seen that several times because his character in that is the love of my life. Oh my God, Mandalorian, obviously. And then, it's so funny because before I knew Pedro Pascal, I had watched the Wonder Woman 1984 in theaters. Didn't even know that was him. Didn't even know that was him. There was, I haven't gotten into The Mentalist yet. I plan to, though. I haven't seen Drive Away Dolls, but I was just talking about it with my friends on Friday. I'm gonna have to see that. Prospect, I haven't seen yet. There's a lot I haven't seen yet, but I'm slowly working my way through every single thing that he's in. Because it's just really important. And something I'm really excited for, Fantastic Four. Oh my God, he's going to be so fucking delicious in Fantastic Four. I can't even right now. I can't even think about it. I'm going to start crying. Anyways, I think that is enough of thirsting over 50-year-old men on the internet. So if we were to recap a couple of highlights of men that have had me in a chokehold since 2013, it would be, what's his name again? Dylan O'Brien, Thomas Brody Sangster, RDJ, Chris Evans, Paul Rudd, Chris Pratt, not anymore though, Pedro Pascal, obviously, David Tennant, Matt Smith, and there are so many more that I've, oh, Tom Hiddleston, obviously. And again, probably so many more that I have discussed in this episode and I've already forgotten about. Because listen, these phases have been locked up in my brain, okay? I'll have a phase for a couple years of my life and then I'll say, hey, that was really cringe, and I'll lock it away. So, so thank you so much for coming with me on the ride that was literally in real time unlocking these phases of my life. Thank you so much for joining me. As always, thank you for listening to me rant about Pedro Pascal and how much I love him. It's unacceptable. If you have any Pedro Pascal edits on TikTok, please send them my way. I have a folder. I have a folder. It has over 500 videos in it, looking for it to be more. So send them my way. And yeah, thank you guys so much for joining me today. I know this was a little bit of a chaotic episode, but at the same time, it was so fun to kind of relive these moments in my past, because I have been a fangirl for as long as I can remember, and a fangirl for so many different things over time. So, again, Happy New Year, Happy 2025. Anybody who is going back to work or school tomorrow, good luck. I salute to you, soldier, and we're in this together. So thank you so much for joining me today. I can't wait to fangirl with you guys next week. If there's anything that you guys are fangirling over right now, please let me know. I would love to discuss it next week. So keep me posted on that. And I will chat with you guys next week. Bye-bye. I love ya.